As you can see on the screen, this summer we're doing a series. We're calling that Summer in the Psalms. And so we've been focusing on a number of psalms from Scripture. And this morning we're going to turn to another psalm. We're going to focus on the Psalm 62. Psalm 62 is a psalm written by David. And so hear then the Word of God. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken. Two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, it has been said that if you were standing on the moon looking at the earth, and if you had the right equipment under the right conditions, you would be able to see just one man-made object on earth. Can you guess what that would be? What do you think? The Chinese wall. That's right. Some of you guys are bright. Hey, that's good. That's good. That's right. It's the Great Wall of China. Its size is enormous. Apparently, it's some 5,000 kilometers long and up to 30 feet wide. And I hear it's some 250,000 massive stones that are strung along its entire length. Imagine that, a wall that's 5,000 kilometers long. That's almost from here to Whitehorse in the Yukon. That's here from Regina, Saskatchewan, and back again. And that wall was built some 200 years before the time of Christ to shield China from its enemies to the north. Every third man in China was ordered by the emperor to work on that wall that twists its way through the most barren and mountainous parts of China. It took more than a million lives and nearly brought this once prosperous nation to ruin. And still this great wall of China never really brought about the security it was intended for. This urge to find some means of earthly security is something that's very deep inside each one of us. And this great wall of China stands today as a grim monument of people's failure to find true security in their lives. Now, the Bible points us to a better way. Let me ask, if you had to come up with a description for God, what would you think of? What do you think of when you think of God? Don't hear any answers this time. God is mighty. That's right. It's a question that I've often asked in when I have a pastor's class. I ask people to describe God, to describe what God is like to them. And I've heard some interesting answers over the years. But the psalmist in Psalm 62 describes God in a way that probably none of us would think of. He speaks of God as a rock. A rock? Yes, a rock. I wonder why. Why does the psalmist speak of God as a rock? I mean, why would anyone want a God who is a rock? Rock is certainly something that's solid and dependable. And when everything seems to be shifting and sinking in our lives with all its uncertainties, standing on a solid rock certainly gives us a sense of stability. For myself, as a youngster growing up on a farm, I used to play with my brothers in a mucky creek that ran through the corner of our property. And we would try to avoid stepping in that slimy muck that has a way of working like a suction cup. I remember stepping right out of my rubber boots at times because of the tight grip of that muck. And in that same slimy, mucky creek were a number of stones, a number of rocks. And so what we would try to do is we would try to step from one rock to the next, to avoid stepping in the muck. Those rocks would give us a firm place to stand while playing in the muck that would stick to your boots. Those rocks provided a sense of stability. That is, until we slipped off those rocks and moved back into the slimy muck. In Psalm 62, the psalmist feels mired in a slimy pit of mud. He feels hemmed in by all the troubles of his life. And he cries out to God. He cries out to God like a child crying out for his or her mother. God, help me. I can't make it through life on my own. In Psalm 62, verse 3, the psalmist tells how he feels like the shattered victim of his circumstances, like that of a tottering fence about to keel over. He can't stand up by himself any longer due to all the weight of the troubles of his life. He knows he can't trust in other people to help him, and that one thing that keeps him from collapsing is the assurance that God himself is still with him. That God is the rock who gives him strength. That God is the one who gives him security despite all the chaos of his life. Now, as younger children, sometimes we have moments in our lives where we feel scared or insecure, right? When we go someplace, somewhere new sometimes, where we've never gone before, it's nice to have a parent or a friend beside us. We find security in that. Or when someone tries to bully us at school, we can try to avoid that person. But we feel a whole lot more secure when we can confide in a teacher or a playground supervisor to protect us. David, the writer of this psalm, he knew what it was like to be bullied by someone. David had to run for his life because King Saul, the king of Israel at that time, was trying to kill him. He went into hiding for months, even years at a time. And David and his friends had to flee from one place to the other to avoid Saul's pursuit. And one time they were hiding in a cave as a place of refuge. And guess who came into that cave? None other than King Saul himself, who had quietly slipped into this cave to relieve himself, says the Bible in 1 Samuel 24, verse 3. David and his men were in the back of that cave. And David's men whispered to him in the darkness, "Here's your chance, David. Here's your chance. God has given your enemy into your hands. Just reach out, David, and strike him and kill him. Then all your problems will be over. And that will serve King Saul right for all that he's done to you." What does David do? "No way," says David in 1 Samuel 24, verse 6. "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." David was willing to leave his problems in God's hands rather than taking matters into his own hands. David trusts in God to place him on the throne as Israel's king in God's appointed time. David puts his trust in God as the rock of his salvation. He rests in knowing that God is still always in control of his life despite all the problems that he's been experiencing. Like David, we have a choice as to how we deal with the problems of our lives. We can try to solve them on our own, or we can put our trust in God as our rock to help us through those times of uncertainty that we experience in our lives. As David says in Psalm 62, verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." God is not only a rock. God is also a fortress built from many rocks. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to take a trip to Europe, where we traveled in Germany through what's called the Mosel River Valley, an area where there were numerous castles built in previous centuries, and we were able to tour through one of the castles that was built as an amazing fortress to shelter its people from enemy attacks. David says, "God is my fortress. God is the one who surrounds me to protect me, and I will not be shaken. I can have an inner peace and a security knowing that God is my ever-present help in trouble." Now, maybe some of us don't always experience God in that way. Maybe some of us don't always experience God as that rock of security in our lives. God might even seem somewhat far away from us at times in our lives, especially when we go through times of trouble. Which begs the question, when we feel distant from God like that, who has moved away from whom? If God is a rock, as the psalmist describes him, do you think it's God who has actually moved away from us? No way. There was in the 1970s, there was this Christian rock pioneer named Larry Norman. Yes, see, somebody else is as old as me. And Larry Norman was a rock pioneer who was one of the first Christian musicians of the contemporary kind of music that we listen to today. And I remember in the late 70s going to a concert from Larry Norman, and he made such an impact in my life at that time that I started to listen to Christian music, and I started to put away some of the other, you know, the rock music that I was listening to at that time. And Larry Norman wrote a wonderful song. It's called "The Rock That Doesn't Roll." I'd sing it for you.
The rock that doesn't roll. That's all. That's all, folks. You know, and it's true. God is a rock who doesn't roll. People might disappoint us. People might even abandon us in our struggles. But God is always there as a rock who never rolls away. God is a rock that doesn't roll. And the reality, and that reality is based on two important truths, says David in our text in Psalm 62, verse 11 and 12. There David says that you, O God, are strong. The kids sang about that earlier. That you, O God, are strong. And that you, O Lord, are loving. God is stronger than the greatest obstacle or the greatest fear that presently threatens to suck us under. And no matter what other people have done to us, no matter what other people have done to mess up our lives, God keeps loving us no matter what. God accepts us for who we are, despite our many weaknesses and shortcomings. God is our rock of stability. God is our fortress. And I will never be shaken, says David the psalmist. Now, the greatest sign God's love for us is his son Jesus. Jesus came into this world to clean up the mess of sin that's at the root of all the troubles that we experience in this world. Jesus is the rock of our salvation who gives us a firm footing within the sinking sands of this world. It's interesting how the Bible talks about Jesus as the cornerstone of our faith. Jesus is the rock that provides a firm foundation for our lives. And that comes from a couple of Old Testament texts. One, say for example, is Isaiah 28, verse 16, where it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. And the one who trusts in him will never be dismayed." Also Psalm 118, verse 22, which says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." Now, interestingly, Jesus takes those verses to himself in Matthew 21, where Jesus tells a parable about some wicked tenants who reject the owner of the vineyard. And Jesus refers here to the Jewish religious leaders who reject him as God's promised Messiah. And these Jewish leaders, they rejected Jesus to the point where they ultimately killed him. The Apostle Paul refers to this Jewish unbelief in the Bible in Romans 9, verse 32 and 33, where Paul says that these Jewish people, they have tripped over the rock that causes people to stumble. And because of their rejection of Jesus as the rock of their salvation, Paul says that they couldn't stomach Jesus as God's promised Messiah. And so they rejected him as God's way of salvation. As Jesus himself says in a parable of a wise man and a foolish man in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says we can't simply just ignore him. We either accept him as the rock of our salvation or we reject him. And in that parable, Jesus tells about a wise man who builds his house on a rock. When the winds and the rain beat against that house on the rock, it remains solid. It remains firm on that foundation of rock. And meanwhile, a foolish man built his house on the sand, and he didn't bother taking the time to build a proper foundation. And when the winds and the rain and the floodwaters beat against that house, it collapsed with a mighty crash. And what's the difference between those two men, the wise man and the foolish man? It's interesting. I find it so interesting that in that parable, they both hear the message of Jesus. But the foolish man lets the words go in one ear and out the other. And he suffers eternal ruin because he refuses to take God's message of salvation through Jesus to heart. And meanwhile, the wise man hears the words of Jesus and he puts them into practice. He puts his trust in Jesus as the rock of his salvation. In other words, being a Christian doesn't depend on how much we know about the Bible. Being a Christian doesn't depend on how much we know about the teachings of a particular church. It depends on how we live for Jesus and how we put his words into practice in our daily living. It depends on whether I serve Jesus as the rock of my salvation. The Apostle Peter, who interestingly was given the nickname Rock by Jesus, Peter urges us to come to Jesus as the living stone, that we might become living stones who are incorporated into the spiritual house of Christ's church. Peter urges us to place our hope in Jesus as the cornerstone of our lives. And Peter says that the person who trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame in this life or the life to come. But to those who reject Jesus, says Peter, to those who stumble and fall over Jesus as the chief cornerstone, such people are destined for a horrible destruction for all eternity, says Peter in 1 Peter 2, verse 8. So whether we are somewhat older, people who were around in the days of Larry Norman or beyond that, around that time, or people who are younger, every one of us faces this choice. Will I accept Jesus as the rock of my salvation, like the wise man who builds his house upon the rock? Will I put Jesus, will I have Jesus as the rock of my salvation, or will I choose to reject him like the foolish man who ignores the words of Jesus? You know, that choice will affect the way that we live in this world. Because if we ignore the words of Jesus in our lives, we'll never experience the reality of having a true sense of peace and rest within our hearts. But if we put our trust in Jesus as the rock of our salvation, then we can say with the psalmist, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. And not only will we find a deeper sense of peace and rest in this life, when we look to Jesus as the rock of our salvation, we can also be assured of an eternal rest within our soul, knowing that we will spend our eternity with Jesus in the glory of his heavenly kingdom. And that guarantee of an eternal security in Jesus is what gives us the strength to persevere despite all the troubles, despite all the uncertainties of life here on this earth. And so my prayer for you is that you will find that kind of peace, that kind of rest, that kind of hope in Jesus, who is the rock of our salvation. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you as our rock, that we can come to you as our source of security and stability in this world. And especially so in those times when we feel weak or insecure. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the assurance that you, O God, that you are strong. That you are strong enough to help us through the struggles and the challenges of our lives. And we praise you also for assuring us, Heavenly Father, that, that you are a God who is loving, that you are the rock of our salvation, that you love us so much that you sent your Son Jesus into this world to die for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to absorb our sin, our misery, and to make us new again. Help us to embrace you as Savior, Lord Jesus, and help us to do that with a living and vibrant faith that's evident in every aspect of our lives. And may it, Lord God, be especially evident in the way we show that same kind of love and unconditional acceptance to others in this name. Help us to be like the wise man who put your word into practice in our daily living. Help us to look to you and to your word to direct us not only in our daily living, but help us to look to you and to your word to help us to know and to live in the assurance of Jesus, who is the rock of our salvation. And so we pray that in his name. Amen.